Blog Talk Radio.
Come on and give victory a voice and celebrate if you know that it ain't over until God says it's done. You've been through the wall. Come on. You've been through the fire. You were not alone. You've been through the storm. You're still here. Look at me. Cause it ain't over. So God says it's done. It ain't over. So God says it's over. It ain't finished. Till it has the last day. Until your victory has been manifest. Oh, no, it ain't over. Until God says it's done. So it ain't over. Until your victory, until your victory has been manifested. If you're sick in your body, I want you to know that God is a healer, cause it ain't over till God says it's done. No, it ain't over. Somebody needs to hear that today. Somebody needs to know that it ain't finished till he has a last day. Until your victory, until you can see it with your own eyes.
Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. We want to thank you once again for tuning in to another broadcast of Kingdom Builders International. The Just Breathe program has been postponed for tonight, and we will be blessed with the Lord with I Have Come Too Far to Quit. Praise God. I have come too far to quit. This is Prophetess Teresa Dox, and I am excited and delighted to be your host tonight. And we're going to make a couple of announcements, and then we will go on with our broadcast. We will be celebrating our monthly empowerment November the 3rd at the Living Way Christian Center. Phone number, address is 235 West 40th Street, and that's in the city of Gary, Indiana. We will be there November the 3rd at 2 p.m. Our guest speaker will be our own Minister Tammy Weatherspoon. We're excited. We will be having refreshments as well as clothes, coats and clothes for that will be given out for free. So we want you to come and be blessed with the monthly empowerment. We will be having prayer as well. Again, our pastor is Apostle Leonard Emmons, Living Way Christian Center, Eric, address 235 West 40th, and that's in Gary, Indiana, 46408. You can go to our website to find out more information, www.kingdombuildersplaza.org. Or you can contact our own evangelist, Dana Hanna, area code 312-890-3204. And also, we will be having, and it's in preparation, but we will be doing on October 31st, we'll have our 24-hour prayer with live intercession going on. You can call in. It will be someone on the wall standing in the gap October 31st, 24 hours. So we know that we're going to tear down some of the enemy's territory on October 31st. If you don't have your hour procured with Evangelist Hanna, please give her a call at area code 312-890-3204. We'll be doing all 8 watches for the whole day. And, again, we are excited about that as well. We will be fasting the day before and the day of, one meal on the day before and one meal on the day of. Again, we want to crucify our flesh and be able to operate totally in the Spirit. We're excited about that as well. And also, we are excited for the preparation of a Bible class teaching in Chicago, Illinois, with Evangelist Hanna, Alpha Omega Ministry. And we're in prayer that our own Apostle Leonard Emmons will be facilitating that Bible class. So we are excited about that. I believe it'll be once a month. I believe that's the preparation. But nevertheless, we're going to be in prayer about that. And also, we will be having a soaking in Chicago, Illinois, at Tri-Stone Church Christian Center. And that will be the second week of November. We're excited also. And then again, we'll be back with our monthly empowerment December the 1st. So again, that's the first Saturday of every month. We have been given a mandate to bring empowerment to God's people, to birth them out, to celebrate together, and to enjoy. The fellowship is nothing like fellowship. As we fellowship together, we grow closer together for the Lord and even to do the kingdom assignment that God has given us. And again, we will have on Thursday our own Apostle Carlton Clark Richardson, along with Prophet Corey Granite and Prophet Matthew Barnes, will be with the Warfare Hour, Warriors for Christ. Every Thursday of the month, they will be here with us at the 8 o'clock hour, and that's Central Time. Now, also for the month of November, the Blog Talk broadcast, we will be doing a two-week, restructuring our Blog Talk program. We'll be bringing new hosts on. We'll be having new speakers. So we will be playing pre-recorded messages for the first 2 weeks of November. So there will be no live recordings, but also there will be, no live teaching, no live ministering, but it will be recordings available. And you can also go to our archives, listen to any other previous teachings, any other previous ministers that have went forth, and you'll be able to listen in to our broadcasts and archives. And also any other podcasts, You can also go to the On Demand, and you can pull up any of the names, and they'll come up if you want to listen over the Internet. And then we want to also announce that we are on the prayer wall 5 days a week, 7 days a week beginning the month of November. We'll be on the wall at 5 a.m. Central Time. Intercessors, intercessors, you're welcome to come and join in with us. That telephone number is area code 218-895-0280. And the entry code is the word PRAY 7729. And then our host for our Monday broadcast is Minister Tammy Weatherspoon. She will be with us on the wall on Mondays. On Tuesday, our own evangelist, Dana Hannah, for Alpha Omega Ministries. And then on Wednesday, we have our own pastor, Bernadine Harvin, which currently she's celebrating her 18th year wedding anniversary. Hallelujah. So they are away. And on tomorrow, we will have Apostle Delany Wilberly will be standing in her stead. She's the pastor of Get Free Ministry International in Albany, Georgia. So we're excited about that as well. And on Thursday, we will have Minister Sophia Parks. She's a minister at AME Church in Detroit, Michigan. She will be standing in. She is the host for the Thursday broadcast on the prayer wall. And then Fridays, yours truly, I will be standing in on Fridays for now, because we do have someone that will be taking on Fridays. We're excited about that as well. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, beginning the month of November, we will have the prayer warriors of the AME Church in Detroit, Michigan. They will be standing in the gap on Saturdays and Sundays. So 7 days a week we'll be there. And now we're structuring a 12 o'clock noonday prayer wall. And so we just call us, give us a call if you are interested in being on the wall. You can pray 30 minutes from 12 to 12:30. We're looking for someone that's interested in praying for our children, standing in the gap, that you'll sacrifice your time so that you can pray for our young people. Yes, 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 the 12 o'clock hour, that's what we are planning for our children, the 12 o'clock prayer. And also, we will be, we got other announcements. We have our our prayer conference, Prophetic Intercessors Conference, is being developed for the month of April 2013. We will be in the Detroit, Michigan area, and that will be the second week of April. And then we're also excited about coming to Chicago, Illinois. We'll be in Chicago, Illinois for the month of October, second week in October. We'll be having our Prophetic Prayer Conference in the month of October. So, again, we are truly excited about the move of God. And then one last announcement, and then we'll be going forth with the broadcast for tonight. We are excited about the development of Kingdom Builders Development Institute. Glory to God. We will be bringing the classes. We will be bringing the certifications, the ordination for the students that enroll in the classes. And again, these courses are so informative about learning the different subjects on ordination, the subjects on personal ministry, personal development. We have homiletics. We have some good courses. Each course is, we have Pentecostal theology. Each course is about 5 weeks. I believe it's 6 weeks long. So, and then there is about, I think there's 10 classes. So that would be 10 classes. That's about 6 weeks long each. And there's a 2-week break in between each 6-week classes. So we'll be able to bring you more information about Kingdom Builders Development Plaza. Development Institute. And I am truly excited how God is moving upon the ministry and moving upon his people to want more and more of him. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I'm going to play just a little bit, one song, and then we'll start with our broadcast. God bless you, and we'll be right back.
Come on and give victory a voice and celebrate if you know that it ain't over until God says it's done. You've been through the wall. Come on. You've been through the fire. You were not hurt. You've been through the storm. Look at me. Cause it ain't over.
Glory to God, it ain't over until God says it's done. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about you have come too far to turn back now. Father, we thank you for the hour of power. Lord God, we bless your name and we adore you, Lord God. We magnify you and we honor you in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you to saturate the ear gates, Lord God, of those that are on the line, Father, and even those that will listen in archives. Father, we just bless you, Lord God, those from that's on the internet, that they would hear from you, God. Revelation knowledge come forth in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you move and you super rule in Jesus' name. Well, we're going to ask you to just get your Bibles out, and I'm just going to be talking briefly tonight about you have come too far to turn back now. you know, sometimes situations and things can begin to bother you, and as they add up, and you, why, Lord, why me? And even though we're pressing our way, sometimes the burden can get heavy. And we have come to encourage you tonight. You have come too far to turn back now. I want you to get your Bibles out, and we're going to ask you to turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus. And we know the Word of God is truly already blessed. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And the kind of God that we serve, he'll let us know when it's truth, when the spirit of truth is ruling. He'll let us know when the spirit of error is in operation. That is the kind of God that we serve. And some of the Christians in John day, they were tempted to believe the doctrine of the cross, but they had overcame that temptation of not believing because they realized, because of the greatness that was in Jesus Christ, they began to realize that as they embraced what God was saying through Jesus Christ, that the greatness was in them. And even though they were in the world, they were not of the world. And we have to keep that in the forefront of our minds, that even though we're among different situations, we encounter a lot of things, but it's not our portion. Because sometimes we can get weighed down because we are embracing things that are not of God. And I want to just talk about, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 5, when it says, they are of the world, it is referring to the false teachers in verse 3. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. This is referring to the fact that the source of their false doctrine was of the world. You might even hear preachers and pastors, you know, when they begin to talk about the different kind of holidays. I mean, even have the nerves to be encouraging the believers. It ain't nothing wrong with celebrating Halloween. See, the false teachers, they say what the world want to hear. And sometimes we can be rejected because we don't say what the world want to hear. But we have come too far to quit. We've come too far to turn around. And I am going to, at this time, and I want you to listen in carefully. This is a friend of mine, Evangelist Sandra Riley, and she is from Chicago, Illinois. And I'm just going to, I want you to listen carefully.
And because I know God, I know too much to quit. Just touch somebody and tell them, I know too much to quit. Oh, you might knock me back, but I ain't quitting. I might fall, but I'm getting back up because I can't quit. I know too much to quit. My knowledge is based upon my experience with God. I've tried, God. I've experienced. experience God. If he's a God that can heal a cold, he can take care of the flu. If he can take care of the flu, then he's able to get into a virus. If he's able to demolish a virus, then he can wipe out cancer. Honey, I know pretty much the quick.
The Lord a hand praise. I just need a few blood-washed believers to help me lift up the name of Jesus. Come on. Now, you did it that time because I asked you, but I'd like for you to just begin to think of the goodness of Jesus to you. Think about all that he's done for you. Think about how he has blessed you. Think about how he has brought you out. And when you get a good look at him, just begin to bless him. Oh, come on, somebody, and bless his name. As we remain standing, join hands with your neighbor, if you will, as we prepare now to pray, knowing that we're serving a prayer-answering Savior. God is here right now to minister to you. God is here right now to meet you at the point of your need. I don't care how difficult the situation may be. I don't care how you have struggled, how long you have struggled with it. God wants you to know that right where you stand, as you are joining hands with someone, that he is right there with you. He is ready, willing, and he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could even dare to ask or to think. I want you to pray with me, nothing wavering, believing God, trusting God, holding on to God. You've got to know how to hold on when it seems like you don't have nothing to hold on to. Hold on. Hold on to God. Because God is here right now to minister to you. Believe him, and that belief ought to develop into your ability to praise him. But he hasn't done it yet. No, but I've got enough faith in him to know that it's on the way. So I don't have to wait until I see it. I can go on and praise him for it right now. Open up your mouths, your hearts, your spirits, and let us go before the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we come right now. First of all, to say thank you. Lord, you brought us all of the way. You've carried our burdens every day. You've been such a wonderful Savior. We've never known you to fail us. You've brought us, thank God, all of the way. For this we say thank you. We thank you for your kindness and your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for being God in our lives. Beside you, there being none other. Now, God, bless the furtherance of this service. Stretch out your mighty hand in the name of Jesus. Give us one more touch, just one more time. Give us help, God. Give us strength, God. We come against the works of the adversary. We come against the works of Satan. We come against every hindrance, every demonic force, every demonic foe that would try to hinder the move of the Spirit in this place right now. God, we thank you, hallelujah, for moving of your Spirit. We thank you for a special anointing. We thank you, Lord God, for taking us to another spiritual level in thee. We thank you for help in time of need. We thank you for strength right now. We thank you for encouragement right now. We thank you for making ways right now. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you have no power. Satan, you have no dominion here. But it is God that is in complete control. Now, God, walk up and down these aisles, in and out of these pews. In the name of Jesus, have your way, God. We say to you, have thine own way. Have thine own way. We are your clay. Thou art the pot. Have your way in this place. We give you glory today. We give you honor today. We give you praise today. In the name of Jesus, come on, somebody. Put your hands together. Open up your mouths and bless the Lord. Come on and bless him. Come on, you can do God better than that. Bless him. Hey, hey, hey. Before you take your seat, I want you to turn to somebody, get a good look at them, and tell them, say, neighbor, you're in the right place at the right time to receive a miracle from the Lord. I believe I got some believers in here. Turn to somebody up and ask them, say, did you hear what I said? You're in the right place at the right time to receive a miracle, a miracle, a miracle from the Lord. You believe it and you're glad about it, put your hands together, open up your mouth, say, come on and give God some praise. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Those of you that have your Bibles, and I'm sure that I am in the midst, amen, of some Bible carrying, Bible reading believers, amen. I want you to turn with me to the Old Testament. I'm going to read from 2 Samuel chapter number 17. My reading will begin with verse number 32. Now, if you just happen to have left your Bible somewhere, if you be nice to the person that you're sitting next to, I'm sure they will allow you to read along with them. We don't want them to penalize you for not having your Bible. They can say shame on you, but when they get done with that, we do want them to allow you to read along with them. Thank and praise the Lord for each of you that gathered here today. Amen. So good to see. Amen. Suffragan Bishop Lee Talbert. Amen. Come on, let's give him a hand. This young man. Give that young man a hand. God bless you, Mother Talbert. Amen. Praise God for Mother. All the very fine ministers. Amen. Assistant Pastor Gary. I want Christ Temple to join me in thanking God for the visionary of this house. The anointed, the appointed, that energetic, youthful, and dynamic suffragan bishop, Mark Curtis Talbert, Sr. Come on, church. Come on, church. Amen. Amen. Thank God for his lovely wife and my good friend, Sister Imelda. Amen. We thank God because even as I stand here today, we know that God is blessing them right now. Is that right? God is blessing them right now, and we just thank God for his help and for his strength. Amen. Now, he is blessing and giving them the strength that they need at this time. And thank God for each and every one of you that are giving them your prayers and your support. I believe Christ Temple is praying for Suffragan Bishop Talbert and his family. I believe that. Aren't you praying? I believe you all are praying. I believe you're praying, and I thank God, amen, for that. You know, every so often he'll remind you that he's still kicking. Did something a few minutes ago. I said, oh, he's back. Amen. We thank God for him. Amen. And for Sister Imelda. Now, I'm going to read from 1 Samuel. Excuse me. 1 Samuel. Did I say 2 Samuel? I said 1, didn't I? You know what? He old. I ain't old. I'm talking about that man. He goes to tell people, you know, we've been longtime friends, but I was a child when I met Suffragan Bishop Mark Talbert. I was just a little girl running around a convention. He was a grown man, had a hamburger franchise and everything. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 17 and verse number 32. You know what, and I want to say this because I fail to remember this, that especially as a former state youth leader and national vice president, that you are the church headquarters of the Midwestern District youth leader. Isn't that right? Or no, Northwestern District. Is that your council? Northwestern District. Amen. Elder Minister Chris Collier. Amen. Thank God for him. verse number 32, and I do want to say that I'm going to read a few verses in, for your hearing on today, but I'm going to allow you to keep up with me. Verse 32 reads, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." Verse 37, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Now, here you have this youngster. Biblical scholars put him somewhere between 13 and 17. A youngster. A kid. He's not a part of the army. Right. David is the youngest of eight of Jesse's sons. He's got three brothers, older brothers that are in Saul's army. He is home taking care of his father's sheep. That's all he's responsible for. But his father says to him, "Go take them some food and see how they're doing." When David gets there, for 40 days, the Philistines and their champion, as he's referred to, have been troubling the army of Israel. Saul's been trying to get somebody to go out and fight against their champion. And he can't find nobody. He's been offering all kinds of stuff. Offering his daughter. Make it. That is. If you go and you win, you can have one of my daughters. You can. Your daddy's house will be free of taxes. It'll be a free house. I'll just do all kinds of stuff. Nothing. Move them. Okay. Someone said, "Well, what was the problem?" The problem was, There was just going to be a one-on-one fight. It wasn't like the two armies would just come together. You know, they decided to just have a representative from each army. The Philistines, their champion, Israel had to find somebody to fight the champion. If the Philistines' champion won, Philistines would be the victors and Israel would serve them. If Israel won, the Philistines would have to serve Israel. The problem was the champion that was on the Philistine side. He was a giant of a man by the name of Goliath. Now it is said and calculated that he had to have stood somewhere between 9.5 to 11 feet tall. He was a giant. And he wasn't, you know, an awkward giant that just came out and started bullying people. He had been warring a long time. He had been trained for this day. And even take note of this. During the 40-day period while Saul is trying to find somebody to go and stand up against Goliath, Goliath has been preparing himself. So while Saul is searching, the Philistine giant is going through his preparation period. And everybody is like, you know, I don't care what you offer. Hello? 2001, it's, I don't care how fine your daughter is. I ain't dying over your daughter. Hello, somebody. That's what they're saying. Because he killed me, I ain't going to enjoy her no way. Hello, somebody. So he couldn't get anybody. But now, when David comes, he's not someone in the army. He's not a warrior. He doesn't have any, you know, any formal training in warfare. But David hears what's going on. He hears this thing. What's going on? Oh, hold on. Who's that talking like that? Who's that? Because what Goliath would do would come out and taunt the armies of Israel. You know how it is when you get the upper hand. He bullied them. Come on, y'all afraid? Where's your man at? Come on out here. I'm waiting. And talk about them. And talk about their God. And David, whoa, hold on. Wait a minute. Who is that doing all that talking? I said, man, don't worry about that. Boy, you better go and get your little brother they food and go on home. You don't want to fool with that? You better go on home now. Go on home. I said, well, who is that? That's Goliath. That's the champion. And every day he's coming out here and he's talking. And, he, you know, because Saul's trying to find somebody to fight that man. Ain't nobody going to fight that man. I don't know what Saul's doing. Fooling himself. But, boy, don't you even worry about that. Your brothers, your older brothers, they ain't even fooling with that. We ain't crazy. David kept inquiring, and his brothers found out. Even after he brings them their food, they find out that David's asking questions, and they started getting angry with him and saying, David, be quiet and get back home. Don't get in this. David, go home. Don't get in this. But the word gets to Saul. Now, he ain't no big fella, and he don't look like he know what he's doing, but at least there is a little somebody that's inquiring. I want you to don't fool yourself. He ain't no warrior, but he's doing what nobody else is doing. At least he's asking what you're going to do, and the rest of us ain't even asking. Saul says, bring him in. And when he looks at him, he sees that he has a child. All right? And so he's like, oh, man. Can you imagine? He's, oh, man. I thought my troubles was over. I'm sorry. They told me somebody, yeah, it's me. No, but you don't understand. This is a war. This man is a giant. You a lad. The man that you would have to go up against has been warring since he was a lad. He'll kill you. He'll tear you apart. You know. But what he knew, his father knew, and even his brothers knew, is that God had put an anointing on his life. They knew it. Those brothers didn't want David to do too much talking because they knew that not only was David going to talk, David had an anointing to back up what he said. Get out of here, David. We're tired of being upstaged by you. We should have been the ones anointed to king, and they were looking for everybody, and none of us got it, and they pulled you out of the field. Get out of here. We're tired of you. Saul does not understand as of yet that this David has the king's anointing, and the anointing of king has been removed from Saul. That's why Saul can't do nothing now. That's why he can't handle the situation now. The anointing to be the king is not on him now. He has the office, but not the anointing. David has the anointing, but he's not in the office yet. Hello, somebody. David has the anointing. So there was something within him that was driving him. I can't sit back and let. I can't do it. I want to go home and act like a boy, but something in me is standing up in me. It's causing me to act like who I've been anointed to be. And it won't let me go home and leave these people. I just feel like I need to be protecting God's people. I feel like I ought to be standing up. I don't know where this thing is coming from, but it's all over me. I just feel like I ought to be protecting God's people. I ought to be protecting the name of God. I know it might look like I'm nothing but a child, but he doesn't talk to Saul about the anointing, but he tells Saul, he says, let me tell you something. Even though I've just been a shepherd boy, I'm not standing up before you because I just, you know, got something to say. I want you to know that I stand before you as a young man of experience, of fighting. I was keeping my father's sheep. And there came a lion and then a bear. They tried to come after my dad's lamb. And God blessed me to slay the lion and the bear. Now, you might think I'm crazy, but I believe that he will allow that uncircumcised Philistine to be as one of them in my hand. Saul listens to the conviction of this young man. And David spoke with the anointing is upon you for a job. I don't care where you run. I don't care how you try to hide. I don't care where you go. I don't care where you move. I don't care if you change your name. When the time is right, you're going to find yourself faced with God, what God has anointed you to do. And some of you have had that experience before. David is there. He says, I speak with conviction. I can't go anywhere. So Saul says, well, if the one made up his mind, I'm just going to let him fight. But he looks at him and he says, well, now look, I can't send you looking like that. You don't even have on any armor. And you got to understand what Goliath looks like. Goliath got on the finest of armor. They specialize in making bronze armor in Philistine. So these folk are going to have him looking good. And he says, man, you don't even have a sword. He says, he got his servants and said, come on, let's start putting some stuff on him. He gave him a helmet and gave him a sword and gave him a breastplate and gave him a shield. But David had all this stuff and it was weighing him down. Can you imagine how he looked? Probably had to try to lift the helmet up so he can look and see. And no, take this stuff off me, y'all. Thank you, but no thanks. I haven't proved this. I've got to use what I know will work for me. See, when you get in a real tight spot, it's not time to be trying nothing new. You better try what you know has been working for you all the time. But no, this ain't no trial run here. This thing is the real thing. I got to do what I know is going to work. He said, well, what is, you don't have nothing, young man. What you think, I can let you go home and come back? He said, I don't need anything. I got my slingshot. And if you would allow me, where am I going to meet him? Down there on the firing line where I see where, you know, the Philistines are? That's fine. There's a brook by there, and if I can just stop by the brook and pick up a few stones, that's all I need. Now, I want you to know this, that when you look at it historically, you will find that David was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Benjamite. They were known to be expert slingshotters. Okay? They were known for knowing how to take a slingshot, get a rock in it, and wind it up and loose it and let it go. But David was not dependent upon his ability. He was dependent upon his God. He comes forth with courage. And he says, based on what, now hear me today, based on what God has already done for me, I've got courage to go out and stand up against this giant. No, he's not the bear. No, he's not the lion. Yes, he does represent a new challenge. It's a
new being. It's a new challenge. I'm in a new place. It's a new situation. But I'm dealing with the same God. But I ain't never been through nothing like this. Oh, but the same God. Never been faced with this giant. I've had some 7-foot ones that I done knocked out. But this one is coming here. It looks like this about 14 feet tall, Sister Riley. Same God, same God, same God. Yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that brought you through that is going to bring you through this. The same God. And see, we have to know how. And if I don't do anything else these next couple of days that I'm here, I want to deposit in you the ability to know how to encourage your own self in the Lord. If you really want to grow up in God, you've got to know how to encourage yourself. We cannot sit around and continue to become spiritually obese by what we hear teached and preached to us week after week and never apply it to our own lives. There has to come a time in which you hear the word and then you apply the word. No, you ain't got to do nothing for me, honey, because let me tell you, I'm going to do what God's word says. I've heard enough about God. I've been to enough Bible classes. I've been to enough Sunday school. I've been to enough Sunday services that I don't have to worry nobody over this. I'm going to worry God. He's the only one I know works 24/7. Come on here, somebody. That's how you really grow up in God. You've got to know how to grow up and apply what God's word says about you. Here, David says, I'm going to go out there. I'm not waiting on nobody. I'm going. No, I don't want it. Can't you imagine? I can imagine Saul saying, but young man, would you at least take a sword? I ain't taking no sword. All I'm doing is, I'm going to do it this way. I just have a feeling that it's going to work for me this way. Have you ever been through something and you didn't know how God was going to fix it, and you didn't have the map? You wish you had it. You didn't have the map and you didn't have the blueprint of just how God was going to do it, but there was a conviction on the inside of you that God is going to bring me through this. I don't know how, y'all. Don't ask me how. I know I look crazy talking about it. I know it sounds crazy talking about it. I know you feel like I ought to be somewhere scratching when I'm not itching. I know you think that I ought to be somewhere just shutting up, laying down, acting like I'm about to lose my mind. But trust me, I just believe God's going to bring me through this thing somehow. On the inside of me. But how he's going to do it, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't even know when he's going to do it, but I just know that somehow, and I've got to base that upon what God's word says about me, and I must base God's word upon my experience. My experience tells me that I can put my confidence in God's word, and God's word will work for me. So I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I don't care what you say. You can call me crazy. You can call me names. You can say I have lost it, but I'm going to walk this thing out by faith, because some way, somehow, God's going to do what he said he would do. You got to know, if he blessed you once, he can bless you again. If he brought you out one time, he can bring you out one more time. And when God has foreordained something in your life, I don't care what the devil tries to do to block it. Hallelujah. I mean, when you know God said it's going to happen, baby, it's going to happen. Come hell or high water, swim or sink, perish or survive, if God said it's going to happen, if God said it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So here it is. Here it is. David said, I'm going out. All I got, he stopped by the brook and got his little pouch in the ground open, and he puts up. I can imagine he just looking. Yeah, that looks like a going. Get him some stones. Yeah, that'll do. Picked up 5 stones. He goes out toward the firing line to meet his opponent. But now, while the word gets to the Philistines that Israel has their opponent, they ready. They got their challenger. And I can imagine that the Philistines, now they happy, you know, they're like, come on, we getting ready to war. Go on, get yourself together. Goliath, let's go. Nobody's cheering David. I can imagine that the army of Israel is sitting somewhere with their head hung down, saying, you know, this is a total, and have you ever been through something, you know, this is a total embarrassment.
folks trusting God and believing God, and because you can't tap into where God has put them, you know, just embarrassing everybody. Just wish they'd sit down. It's an embarrassment to me about God is going to do it. David goes out, and he's ready. Goliath, David goes out, ain't nobody cheering him on. I can imagine Saul probably somewhere hiding in the castle saying, y'all call me when that thing is over. And here goes Goliath. I can imagine that as the Goliath is walking out, there goes the Philistines are cheering. Go, Goliath, go. Oh, man. Go, Goliath. You the man. Rock it, Goliath. Rock it. Got everybody with him. You know, they want me. We're going to stroll. The women, we're going to be waiting for you when you get back. Go, Goliath. He's got men walking out before him carrying his shield. He's some kind of man. He has a bronze coat of mail, bronze greaves, a javelin, a spear with an iron spearhead, a huge sword. He is appearing to be invincible. Don't you see him? Oh, when you're like that, you don't got to get in no hurry, baby. You just stroll and take your time. Everything is polished down so that when the sun reflects upon you, it just bounces off. Everybody sees something bright. It's walking, and he's already a giant of a man as he walks and as he strolls. Can't you see him with his head hung high? Here I come. I'm ready. Go, Goliath. Yeah, I'm going to go. I'll be back, though. Ah, go, Goliath, go. And after he makes his way to the firing line, gets ready to see his opponent. About somebody 7 feet they pulled out. Where? And he has to keep looking down. And he looks down. And he does not see a warrior. He does not see some muscular warrior. He sees a young, as the Bible calls David, a ruddy-looking guy. Reddish. This is a shepherd. Shepherd boy. He don't think nothing of hanging out with the sheep and smelling like them every so often. Okay? Ruddy little thing. And he looked down and he said, wait a minute. Wait, hold on. I know I didn't put on all of this stuff and get dressed up like I'm dressed up for you all to send me that boy to fight. Why would you insult me like this? Where are y'all at? He gets angry. I want you to think about this. He literally gets angry. This isn't a challenge. Like, at least give me a challenge. Look at it. You're insulting me. What have you sent him here for me to do with it? You didn't even have at least the decency to dress him up. He doesn't even have a sword. What is he going to do? Doesn't even have a helmet. Doesn't even have a breastplate on. What is he going to do? Why would you insult me like this? He said, look, I'm going to tear him apart. Embarrassing me. Doing this to me. And he begins to talk about King Saul. He talks about Israel, talks about David, but then he talks about David's God. The Bible says that David spoke up. You've got to understand the man, this young man, has the anointing of a king on his life. So I might look like a shepherd boy, but don't judge me by what I look like. You better judge me by the anointing that's on my life and where God has taken me. You done stirred something up here now. You can talk about me, and you right, Saul ain't about nothing, and you right, the army, we ain't about nothing as an army. But let me tell you something. When you go to talking about my God, then you got some trouble on your hands. You can't talk about my God. He says, who do you think you are? Going to defy the army of the living God. How you going to talk about my God? You uncircumcised. He who has no covenant relationship with my God. You uncircumcised Philistine. How dare you talk about my God? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. No, you ain't going to eat me. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with you. You ain't going to tear me apart and feed me to the fowls of the air. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to cut your head off with your own sword. And I'm going to feed your head to the fowls of the air and to the carcasses. And you're going to know that there is a God. There's a God up here in Israel. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This thing ignited anger. I can imagine Goliath saying, you know, I was going to be nice. But anybody with that kind of mouth, I'm going to whoop you, and you deserve a whooping. Hello, somebody. I was going to be nice, but I'm going to really whoop you now. You, anybody talk like that, you know what? I'm going to do something with you. But I want you to see this. David had the anointing on his life, and it would just pop up every so often. People of God, I want to say this to you. Many times we can look back over our lives. We look back at mistakes that we made in our lives and even in our dealings with people. In the church, you must be very, very careful. We are a lot more careful about how we treat people on our jobs than we are in the church. Because we look at our jobs and we say, well, you know, honey, I done seen how folks get promoted because how they know somebody, whatever. And you never know, they might be my boss one day, so I'm going to just treat them right. Oh, but then we come into the church and we think we can treat anybody any kind of way. You don't know who God has anointed to be the leader, to be the ruler, to be your helper, to feed your family, to provide, to take you to the hospital, to pick you up from the doctor. You don't know. Who would have thought that this little ruddy David was going to be somebody? Who would have thought that he really would have been the king? You've got to watch how you treat people. And I want you to know that while David was still a shepherd boy, look at this, while he was a shepherd boy, David had the anointing. He did not come into the office, but he had the anointing. Now, he has the advantage of understanding that he has been anointed to be king. But there are some of you parents are raising very and highly anointed children. Don't just judge them by how they act. Some of the worst acting young boys have grown up to be some of the greatest men of God in this world. I wasn't going to go there, but since he went there. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? I wasn't going to go there. But those of you that have been a part of this ministry for a long time, who would have thought when little Mark was running around and acting wild and beating the drums and you couldn't sit him down, overly energetic, and y'all said, well, if they just can keep him paved, Pastor's going to be doing all right. And here he has arisen to be one of the great pastors of this city. Who would have thought it? You've got to be careful about how you treat people. You don't know who's going to help you. You look at that folks and say, honey, they ain't got nothing, and they ain't nobody, Anna. You don't know they ain't got nothing today because you don't see what they got, honey. But God's getting ready to produce some stuff. He made some deposits for them in their spiritual bank account, and they just haven't made a withdrawal yet because they don't know what bank it's in. But as soon as they find out and start withdrawing it, you might need a loan, so you better watch how you're treating folks. Hallelujah. You never know who God is going to use. You never know who God is going to raise up. Many times we want to look at people and make judgment calls on them based on who they are now and what they do now. You've got to learn, and even as I was speaking to you about in the earlier service, how even that breaking process brings about a greater sense of sensitivity. Yes, even when people fall and make mistakes, even in the church, you've got to know how to be spiritually sensitized. You don't know what God is going to do in their life. Well, you don't hear what I'm saying. You've got to be spiritually sensitized. And when God has gone and put something in the sea of forgetfulness, he has not anointed you to be a deep sea diver and go and dig it back up. Hello, somebody. I'm going to put it in the sea of forgetfulness, and people come in the ministry, they don't know nothing about nothing. All they know is how God has anointed and how he's using somebody, and you go putting on your deep sea diving equipment and go fishing and bringing it up. Baby, let me tell you about this. You don't know. You have to be very careful. Remember, we are wrapped up in flesh. And the Bible tells us to put no confidence in the flesh. Don't put confidence in my flesh, and don't put no confidence in your flesh. All of us are open to doing anything, but by the mercy and the grace of God, we have been kept Don't you look at somebody and say, I'd never do that. You don't know when you put in the right situation what you do. You smoke crack, swing from a bar stool. You don't know. You just have to say, God, I'm going to pray. And I thank you because you kept me. I don't know what I do, but thank you because you didn't allow me to get in a situation for me to find out what I do. Thank you. That's not in my notes. I'm sorry. No, sorry. Yeah. They looked at David. Didn't know what he was going to be. Didn't know that they were looking at one of the greatest kings to rule over Israel. Didn't know that they were looking at one of the greatest psalmists to ever live. Didn't know that they were looking at one of the greatest warriors. All they knew is what they saw then. But the anointing was on his life. The anointing was on his life. And dear David says, I've got to go by what I know about God. What God has already done, and I can speak to you, Goliath. I can speak to my situation. I can speak to my giant because I'm going by what I know, already know about God. I'm not going based upon what I know about my ability as an expert slingshot. He doesn't say anything about that. He says that my confidence is based upon what I know about God. And based on my knowledge of God, even though this is a new situation, I still, through the power of God, have the ability to slay, conquer, overtake it, and put it under my feet. Goliath comes after David, and when he's coming, he's ready. He said, I'm gonna whoop you right now, and let's get this over with. But David gets his slingshot together, and here the Bible lets us know, and he threw four, and then the fifth one hit. He put a rock in there, and let me tell you something. When he wound that thing up, I believe God got in the rock. See, all you got to do, honey, is just take your faith and wind it up, and God will get in it. God will know how to guide it. God will know how to direct it. God will know how to fix that thing. And when he released it, it just went. If this man had a helmet, do you understand? He had a helmet on his head. But here, God directs this rock so it is able to bypass the helmet and still lodge in the right spot in the man's head to the point that it knocked him to the ground unconscious. David then goes over to Goliath, takes Goliath's sword, cuts his head off with his sword, stands up and declares, I told you the battle is not ours. The battle belongs to God. I got to sit down. But I want somebody to know, I see you battling. I see you warring against your giants. But God wants you to know today that this is not your battle. This battle belongs to the Lord. And even though the enemy is trying to wear you out, that's his job, is to wear out the saints of the Most High God. He's trying to wear you out by what you're going through. He's trying to wear you out by your challenges. But you've got to know how to look your challenge in the face and say, it might be trying to wear me out, but baby, you ain't wearing God out. And one thing I know about God is that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ask or think. And because I know God, I know too much to quit. Just touch somebody and tell them, I know too much to quit. Oh, you might knock me back, but I ain't quitting. I might fall, but I'm getting back up because I can't quit. I know too much to quit. My knowledge is based upon my experience with God. I've tried God. I've experienced God. If he's a God that can heal a cold, he can take care of the flu. If he can take care of the flu, then he's able to get into a virus. If he's able to demolish a virus, then he can wipe out cancer. Honey, I know pretty much the quit. That's got to get in your spirit. What I know about God. Now, I know too much to quit. When the enemy is trying to wear you out, when the enemy is trying to take you through different kinds of situations and emotional swings, that many times it can get so difficult. Sometimes you can go through something so long. How many of you have ever gone through something a long time? Wasn't that the situation was so bad, but you went through it so long? You know, if you have a cold too long, it'll wear you out. And
just a common cold can mess you up if you go through it too long. Some of you are going through some things and it seems like you've gone through it for so long that it's wearing you out. And you got to the point where you just said, I'm through. I can't take no more. I can't go through no more. If God was going to do it, he should have done it by now. If God was going to help me, he should have helped me by now. If God was going to deliver, he should have delivered by now. If God was going to make a way, he should have made a way by now. But I hear God saying, don't you become weary in well-doing. In due season, you're going to reap. But if you can't not, God said that the trying of your patience, he's working some stuff in you and working some stuff out of you. The devil wants to destroy you. But God said, I want to make something out of you. The devil wants to wear you out. But God says, I want to raise you up. The devil wants to tear you down. But God says, I want to build you up. The devil wants to put his foot on you. But God says, I want you to put your foot on the devil. You've got to know that God is a way maker. Know that God is your healer. You've got to know that God is your prayer answer. You've got to know that God is your deliverer. You've got to know that God is your strong tower. You've got to know that God is your prayer answer. You've got to know that God will be your strength. You've got to know that he will answer. You've got to know that he'll come to your rescue. You've got to know that he will bring you out. And when you know it, you can tell you're the devil. Tell your friends, don't bother me now, because I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. All of my help is coming from the Lord who makes the heaven and the earth. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to magnify him. I'm going to glorify him. If he did it once, he can do it again. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to stand on his word. I'm going to believe him. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me now. If he was going to leave me, he could have left me at the crack house. If he was going to leave me, he could have left me at the gambling den. If he was going to leave me, he could have left me swinging from a bar stool. But he brought me out, and he's going to take me in. Touch a neighbor and say, all the way, from earth to glory, I'm going all the way. It may get rough, but I'm going all the way. I might have to cry, but I'm going all the way. I might have to walk the floor, but I'm going all the way. All the way, all the way. I started with Jesus. I'm going all the way. He's able to hold me. He's able to mold me. He's able to keep me. He's able. Come on, somebody. Clap your hands and give God some praise. Go out of your way. Touch three or four people and tell them, I know too much to quit. Or go out of your way. Testify. Testify. Step outside of yourself. Get up. Now lay your hands on yourself and tell yourself, I know too much to quit. I know too much to quit. You got to know how to encourage yourself. Tell yourself, I know too much to quit. You won't always have a revivalist. You won't always be able to reach the pastor. But in the midst of trouble, in the midst of a storm, with the hellhounds a-raging, with the storm clouds a-blowing, with billows a-tossing high, can you tell yourself, I might be in the, I might feel like I'm breaking, but baby, don't count me out. I may lay down for a minute, but I'm going to bounce back up after a while. Don't count me out. I know too much to quit. Come on and praise God. I know too much. I know too much. Somebody said, how can the child of God really bounce back like that, Sister Riley? Well, with just a lie, the situation with the boy
that took his father to a toy store and he wanted the punching bag. He said, Daddy, I want this punching bag. His father said, well, go ahead. That's what I'm going to buy. But the boy started playing with it. When his father walked away and he went back to his daddy and said, I changed my mind. I don't want that punching bag because it does not work. His father said, what do you mean? He said, Daddy, it doesn't work because when I hit it, it won't stay on the ground. It comes back up. When I kick it, it won't stay on the ground. It comes back up. His father said, son, I don't think you understand how the punching bag is supposed to work. He said, go back and look at it again. The boy kept working with it, kept looking in it, and he went and got his daddy. He said, Daddy, I do want it, because now I understand. He said, look, Daddy, when I hit it, it falls down, but it comes back up. If I put my foot on it, when I take my foot off, it bounces back up. But, Daddy, I see when I look down on the inside, there's something on the inside of the punching bag that when I hit it, it won't let it lay down. There's something down on the inside of that punching bag. When I take my foot off, it won't let it say that. When you got the Holy Ghost down on the inside, you got something that gives you bounce back ability. You might go down, but maybe you bouncing back. You might lay down, but maybe you bouncing back. Come on, somebody, and praise him. How many of you feel like you can bounce back? How many of you feel like you can bounce back? How many of you feel like you can bounce back? How many of you can feel like you can bounce back? How many of you can feel like you can bounce back? Can you feel yourself bouncing back? Somebody said, I've been down, but I'm bouncing back, Sister Riley. I was laying there for a while, but I'm bouncing back. I feel my strength coming back. I feel my joy coming back. I got some renewed energy. I've got some renewed faith. I've got some renewed peace. I'm bouncing back. I can stretch my arms. I'm bouncing back. I can lift my head. I'm bouncing back. I'm bouncing back. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise. Get those hands up. All over this building, you feel God giving you strength. You feel God strengthening you right now. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The confidence you have in God is your strength. Your ability to give God praise in the midst of what you're going through. God said in everything, give him thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's why the devil tries to steal your praise. He knows that there's strength in praise. He knows that if you keep on praising God, you're going to think about something God did for you. And it's going to make you happy. And when you think about what he's already done, it'll give you confidence to believe that he can do this one too. Might be a new giant in a new neighborhood, different size, shape, and color. But something will rise up on the inside of you and say he's the same God. If he did that one, he can do something with this one. Get those hands up. We're going to give him some praise. We're going to give him some praise. With this sevenfold hallelujah, praise. With each hallelujah, I want you to allow God to unctionize you. With each hallelujah, allow God to give you strength. With each hallelujah, allow God to raise you up. With each hallelujah, allow God to stir up your confidence. With each hallelujah, allow God to stir up your strength. Come on, get those hands up. For the first time, tell him, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Speak of his goodness. Speak of his goodness. Speak of his goodness. Come on, come on. For the second time, hallelujah. Power of God. Somebody can feel the strength of God for the fourth time. Hallelujah. Ooh. For the fifth time. Hallelujah. For the sixth time. Hallelujah. Now get those hands up. Get ready. This is time number seven. You're not just going to let it ring from your lips, let it ring from the depths of your soul. When you say hallelujah this time, I want you to know that heaven is getting a message. When you say hallelujah this time, put your foot on your giant's head. Whatever that Goliath is that's been standing up in your life, whatever that Goliath is that's been tormenting you, put your foot on his head. Let it ring, 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 let it ring.
Glory to God, bless his holy name, hallelujah, yes. Put your foot on the giant's head. Well, we thank you once again for tuning in to another broadcast. We pray that you were blessed. And again, we'll be here tomorrow, same time, same place. There will be a recording on, but we'll be here. We want to just pray you out. God bless you. May the Lord God keep you in the name of Jesus. God bless you and have a wonderful night.
Come on and give victory a voice and celebrate if you know that it ain't over until God says it's done. You've been through the wall. Come on. You've been through the fire.